welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier and happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this.
Hi, I'm so excited today to welcome Eva Raposa to the podcast. This is such an amazing opportunity for everyone who's listening. So Eva is the director of the Bra Academy and a business consultant to up-and-coming wellness coaches. She inspires her clients to make food, life, and business feel almost too easy. Find ease for yourself via the resources at therawacademy.com, which is Eva's website. So welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi. So you guys, you don't understand. So we met online a long time ago, but I've met so many people online that I have, you know, stayed online friendships with for a long time. But I had the unique opportunity of, like, 3 days after I met her online, going and meeting Eva at her amazing cook withholding in Martha's Vineyard, and just having this experience like we were old friends and knew each other forever, although we had met, like, a few weeks before online, which was so cool. And she does such great work in the world, so I'm just so delighted to have her here today. And she knows more about the world of raw food and uncooking than most. So I'm so excited for everything that I have up my sleeve to ask her.
Nope.
So tell us a little bit, though, about your story. So tell us sort of how you got where you are today, and have you always been healthy, and have you always been eating raw food? Like, tell us how you got here.
Okay. It's so funny because I know this is going to be live a little bit later, but today is February, and in 3 days, I have my 9-year anniversary of eating almost 100%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I guess we can go ahead and go back to about 9 years ago. I was not healthy at all. I had my first ulcer starting when I was 19, and at that time I was 24. So I'd been dealing with ulcers, you know, off and on, but it was particularly bad at that time. And I was also dealing with a new issue, which was gas, trapped gas. That was also, it would come out sometimes, but either way, it was not comfortable and not fun. And just, it was horrible. It was horrifying. It was like, this is my life. I'm either hoping to be gassy or I am gassy. And those were the two pieces. I'm totally serious. I know it's funny, but it's like, this is my life. And so
yeah.
I had some other issues that were not as big of a deal because I was just kind of used to them and I didn't know that they could be fixed. I thought they were just genetic or just like problems with me. One of those is ADHD. I took medication for that twice daily since I was a kid. And
wow.
So I didn't know that there was a way to fix that. Nobody ever told me that. It was like you go to the doctor and they make sure that the medication isn't causing too many issues for you, but they don't help you to get off of it, which is so interesting.
Right.
Or at least that was my experience. Obviously, it varies from doctor to doctor and person to person. But anyway, so that was an ongoing issue that I had. I also had acne. I don't even know if it's fair to call it acne, so maybe you could just call it really bad skin. So
mm-hmm.
I just had all these skin problems. I had this huge pimple patch on one of my cheeks that was just like, it was my whole cheek, and nothing would fix it. So I tried everything too. I was sure that I had anyways at the time. So there were other things. I could keep going on and on about it. Like I took a bottle of Tums every week because it just had so much heartburn. It was like everything I ate seemed to give me heartburn. So I always had Tums with me. And I was 24. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you
mm-hmm.
know, old man issues, not like 24-year-old, like, you know, young woman issues, but I mean, it just was like, it's just how it was. And it helped. I mean, when I would take the Tums, the heartburn would go away. It did feel a lot better. So I just felt like I was doing the best things. And I kept seeing like, oh, it has lots of calcium. I'm taking lots of calcium. I was like, sure. I was like the queen of calcium at that time. So anyway, so I did a Google search. I put in, I put in exactly, what was it? Okay, ulcers plus gas plus natural cure. Because at that point, I'd been to so many doctors, and I'd been taking, you know, prescription medications and over-the-counter medications and everything for just too long. And so when I put that in Google, what I ended up finding was a raw food forum that the reason this came up was because there's someone who switched to raw food, and in the beginning, she became gassy. And so it's funny because it was not a thread that was about resolving gas with raw food. But for some reason, as I was reading and reading and reading, I was like, I don't know why, but I just feel like this might be it. Like, this really might help me. I think that I'm going to try it. And when I was thinking about it from my logical mind and from even like a space from my heart, I was thinking, wow, yeah. You know, letting go of processed foods and instead eating foods that come from the earth. So eating from the earth instead of from a box. And it's just like, wow, you know, like that could be it. Like, what if there's something in the foods that I'm eating that's hurting me? And I don't know what it is, but it's probably not in apples or in bananas. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I just decided to try it. And I was reading about it, and I found out that, oh, gosh, I was really addicted to caffeine. I had to have, like, lots of coffee just to wake up in the morning and to be functional. And then on top of that, I would take my fast-acting Ritalin, which is a pretty severe stimulant. So it was like I was non-functioning without the stimulants. So I found out that caffeine, like from drinking coffee, stuff like that, that was not okay with the raw food diet. And I was like, wow, okay. I guess I won't be drinking coffee. So I for my first days raw, I didn't drink coffee, and I just found out it seemed like almost everything that I was doing was wrong. It was like, oh gosh, like what do I eat? And so I figured out that I could eat nuts, I could eat fruit, and I could eat vegetables. And I didn't know anything about the kitchen. Like, I didn't know what a food processor was, much less how to use one or have one in my kitchen. I didn't have a blender. Like, it just, I was not the ideal person to be jumping into raw food in terms of what I could do in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. And what happened is my first 3 days of going raw were the most hellish days of my entire life, probably to date, because I was detoxing like crazy. No, it was bad. I had vertigo. Like, I couldn't stand. It was so bad. And my head was just pounding because I was going through caffeine withdrawal.
Yeah.
I just cold turkey, everything cold turkey. That's funny, turkey. But yeah, cold turkey with everything. So my body was just like, oh my God, what do I do? And so luckily I was able to call in sick from work, and I really did. Like, I just stayed at home and did nothing but stay in bed. And I almost went to the emergency room at some point because I felt like it was really wrong what was happening to me. But at the time, I didn't really have a lot of money and I didn't have insurance. So I was just kind of like, I'm just going to like hold out and see what happens. And so I did. But at the end of the third day, it was like I had been living in a storm for years, and all of a sudden the storm was over, and there were birds that were out singing to me, and there was sunshine on my face. It was like that, except for it was at night, because it really wasn't until the third night that I was okay. But it's just like that was the sensation that I had. Like all of the challenges that I had for so many years, I could just let go of them. I knew that something good had happened over that 3 days. And so I never looked back. And that was in 3 days. That's going to be, or 4 days. What's today? On the 14th, February 14th, Valentine's Day. That's going to be 9 years. That's the only reason I know, is because it was Valentine's Day when I started. But yeah, it was crazy. So basically, over the process of going raw, in 3 days, I went from sick to well.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I actually had a similar experience. So I totally understand.
Oh, cool.
And like, it's so amazing to hear that you had no idea what to do in the kitchen, because you're quite gifted at that at this point.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Like, I certify chefs. It's like hundreds of people have come to me to learn how to be raw food teachers. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know what a processor was 9 years ago.
So you did this whole thing, and then, and you stayed the course, and you became this amazing chef, and then you eventually became someone who could teach it to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And then you had a daughter. Has that or were there any other wrinkles along the way that sort of tested you in staying the course, or any moments
sure.
that were hard?
Totally.
All right. Tell us, almost divorced
over food. I mean, life has been really interesting, to say the least. So the dynamic in our marriage is really strange, because I used to be suffering. I used to be a victim. I used to be in need of help from others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my husband would do this exercise to me when I had so much gas that I needed help. And I was in huge amounts of pain. So what he would do is I would lay on my back on the bed, and he would basically take my feet and pump them into my chest over and over and over. Or basically just pumping my knees into my chest, but using
this is before you went raw. No.
This is before I went raw. Yeah, this has nothing to do with raw food.
Yeah.
Raw food was like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, got it.
Let go of the awkwardness. But at the time we were newlyweds, so it was just like, I've got my brand new husband, and I'm like the biggest thing, the best thing I could hope for at the end of a day like that, when I was in so much pain, is that I could fart in my husband's face. It's like, really? This is my life? Like, come on. So our dynamic, and he was really sweet about it, like really sweet about it. He, like, there was no embarrassment, no shame. There should have been, but like there wasn't. There was, because there couldn't not be, because I was, you know. But he didn't let there be too much. You know, he was so sweet about it. And he was so, like, it was like our marriage was the best when I was suffering, because then he could be my hero. And mm-hmm. so when I went raw, two big things happened. One is that I no longer needed a hero. I was my own hero. You know, mm-hmm. I was calling the shots. I was making my life work. I was making my body work. You know, I was the one that was making choices that allowed me to have whatever sensation I wanted. If I wanted to be in pain, I could, but I didn't want to, so I just didn't. And so there's that. That was one big thing, is that I became my own hero. And then the other big thing, I forgot.
I can tell you really good. Things,
but I got so excited talking about the hero thing.
No, I like the hero thing. Let's just leave it at that, the one good thing.
I just remembered. I was so excited about the hero thing. So the other thing was, I started expressing my emotions. And so between those two things, number one, I was no longer the victim. So that meant that he couldn't be my hero. And there was no, like, me suffering without the energy to, you know, fight or talk or, like, anything. And when I started expressing my emotions, because what happened is, before, I didn't know it. I knew nothing about this, but I had been stuffing down my emotions with food and wine.
Right.
And so once I didn't have anything to stuff those emotions down, it was like, you know, what do I do with all these emotions? And they started coming out left and right. And in the beginning, we almost got a divorce. I actually went down to Florida. I was like, screw this. I'm not going to be your wife. And so I went down to Florida. Sometime, I think it was like maybe March. I don't think I'd been raw for more than a month or two. I mean, it was pretty quick. I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because once I started expressing my emotions, I was mad at him. I didn't even know I'd been mad at him, but I had been. And so, you know, it was very peaceful, but it's just when things would come up, I would want to express them rather than holding them in.
Right.
So I went to Florida. Eventually I came back. And I was like, all right, we can work this out. We can, you know, try again. And then when I came back, it was still like, you know, we still had, when things would come up, I would still want to express them. And I remember there was a day I smashed the TV. Oh, it was such an awkward day. So I wanted to talk to him about something, and he just didn't want to talk about it. And then he kept putting it off and putting it off. And it had been like a few days. And I was like, we're going to talk about this, dude. Like, we're talking about this. I don't even remember. Probably nothing. But I really wanted to talk about this thing. It had been something that had apparently been eating me up for a long time. So I called him on his cell phone. I was like, I really want to talk about this. And he was like, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, you know, like, this is important to me. Gosh, I wish I could remember what it was. So then we had gotten this new flat TV, right? And we still had a tight budget. We didn't have a ton of money. And I was mad about the TV because my food was so expensive. I hadn't yet figured out how to make it inexpensive to do the raw food thing.
Mm.
So I was spending tons of money on food, but I still hadn't, you know, I was only working so many hours and only making so much money. And Martha's Vineyard's not like the cheapest place to live if you're, you know, blue collar worker, which is what we were both doing at the time before things changed. So yeah, so I smashed the TV. I took a hammer. But it didn't smash. It just did this weird thing where there were like little bubbles on the TV. I didn't know that was going to happen. That TV for a long time with bubbles on it. And he would tell people about it. He would give me such a hard time. So it's an interesting thing, you know, to suddenly have the ability and desire to express your emotions when you've been holding them in for how many years? You know, had I been doing this for decades? Like, I don't even know. I never had the desire to express so many emotions all at once. But now it's like, I express things as they come. Everything rolls off my back. Like if he's grumpy and whatever, I don't care.
And why do you think that with the raw food, you didn't want to emotionally eat? Tell us a little bit about why the food changes that.
Well, because nothing was stuffing down my emotions in the same way. So if you want to stuff down your emotions and you eat pasta, bread, cheese, stuff like that, there are actually, you know, there are chemical reasons that you're able to stuff down the emotions. You know, it's sort of like all these opiates kind of floating through your body that are like, you know, closing stuff off and you're relaxed and you don't even realize what's happening. And so
drugs. You're like,
yes, it's like drugs. But the raw food doesn't have that. You know, there's no dairy, or I don't do the raw dairy anyways. So I don't have opiates that are intended for a baby cow. Like I just have food that doesn't have drugs. I don't even do well with cacao. I know a lot of people do the raw cacao. And
ooh, I do.
So for me, gosh, it's like taking cocaine. It's so bad. It's so bad. I don't even have it in my cabinet at this point. I just have carob. I don't want it.
So now actually you have five people in your house, right? So you have a little daughter who's two, almost three. Is that true? Three? She's three?
No. She keeps growing. She's four now.
Four. Oh, my God. How is she?
Four? I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Don't even ask me how it happened.
You have a husband. Your husband's, your two stepsons live in your house, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? So there's a lot of people. And so is everybody raw? Like, how does
no,
you tell
just
us a little
me.
Bit how that works? Okay. And so a lot of people ask me this because, you know, a lot of and actually it's one of the things that sticks out to me as a gift of yours is that you really have this, when you're with you have this sense that you're really going with the flow,
mm-hmm.
but you always are holding your center. So you're not like going with the flow and eating chips because somebody offers them to you.
Right.
And I find that comes up a lot in mm-hmm. In our community. So, mm-hmm. so tell us a little of how you deal with that. Like, what in a day, and how do you do that from such a positive space? Because you stay in a very positive space for like 90% of your life at this point, you know, now that you're through the art.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that I'm done smashing TVs.
Yes.
I found that I can hold my center. Yeah, I really do just go with the flow. I mean, I eat the best thing that I feel like eating at any given moment. So mm-hmm. I'm not even technically vegan. I mean, I basically mm-hmm. am. If you look at my food, I'm vegan. But mm-hmm. I have, like, there was a time, it wasn't last year, but the year before, I actually ate pizza on my husband's birthday because he wanted so badly to go out for pizza. And he'd just fallen off a roof and he was, like, you know, limping around. And that was what he wanted to do on his birthday. And I just kind of, like, I don't know, just from the space of total love, I just decided to have pizza with his birthday. And you know, it was weird because I've done my little experiments with having food that doesn't fit in with, you know, the kind of food that I want to be eating. And generally speaking, like gluten and dairy bomb wasn't like at the top of my list of things that I wanted to do a ton of experimenting with again.
Yeah.
But I had been playing around the time with some meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And the meditation was something I just decided that I wanted to choose things because I wanted to choose them, not because my body forced me to choose them. And so this meditation that I was doing, I would just basically do this mantra over and over and over and over and over, where I would say to myself, I'm not my body, I'm not even my mind. I'm not my body, I'm not even my mind. So that was the breathe in and breathe out. I'm not my body, I'm not even my mind. And so the idea behind that for me, behind saying that, was that I am this energy body, right? I am this person that's connected to everybody, the earth that's connected to nature and to my higher self, you know, to my soul. I mean, this is the way I see it. I hope your listeners aren't like running away right now, but if they are, that's okay too. Sorry. But just for me, like this is the way I see it. And I feel like our bodies are such a small part of everything. So all of these things that are attached to our bodies, like allergies and all these issues that we have that are unique to us, I feel like sometimes those have real reasons for existing, but sometimes I feel like they've already served their purpose. We no longer need that challenge. We no longer need to stay away from that food, but we already know experientially what that food has done to us in the past. And so we might have an exaggerated reaction to the food just because we know of our past reactions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Sort of like something that I was just thinking about. And I just had made this decision, like, I think I want to let go of my food sensitivities. I want to be able to make choices in the moments. And so I did some experimenting. So every single day, I would do this meditation. And it was so cool because on that particular day, and since then I have not had pizza, not except for rock pizza, of course, but I did not have one reaction to the pizza. I wasn't bloated. I didn't get like any of the little dairy pimples that I used to get. Like literally nothing happened. It was the craziest experience ever. And I did a little bit of energy work on the pizza before I ate it too, where I was basically like praying for the food. But what my husband and daughter didn't know, not that my daughter would have known because she was like 2-something at the time, but what they didn't know was that while I was praying over the food, I was actually like, you know, putting like really positive energy into it. Like, and I feel like that's kind of like what we're doing when we pray over food anyways. I feel like we're setting a really nice intention. We're putting, like, we might be connecting it to a higher source, but I do feel like we're putting a nice intention into the food that we're eating and the gratefulness of having the food and the experience of it and all of those pieces. So.
Okay. So when you're not eating pizza out of love, which is awesome that you can, that works. I mean, that's fabulous. I love that. I love that meditation. We will put that in the show notes.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I don't do it anymore, but I don't need to. Go ahead.
What does like a normal day look like for you? And I mean, mostly it's you and Leela together, right? Like on a normal day, cause everybody else is off at school and work. Right. Or so like, what is a normal food day that sort of like you feel like the people who you have not, control is the wrong word, but you know, the people that you're helping with food, you know, are eating, what's there? Like, what does that day look like in your house?
For me, it can
vary.
But generally speaking, on any given day, I drink almost always at least 2 liters of green smoothies.
Okay.
And usually what I do, because Lila's sleeping in the morning, she sleeps late until like 9 to 10:30, depending on the day.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I almost don't even want to share that just in case there are like moms that would want to throw eggs at me or at me, tomatoes. So yeah, so she sleeps late. And so I obviously don't want to wake her up. I want her to sleep because I've got work to do and that's when I do my work. And so I blend smoothies the night before. And when I wake up in the morning, it's just there waiting for me. So when I wake up in the morning, usually the first thing I do is oil pull. And I clean things up a little bit. I set the intention for what I'm going to do during my work.
Will you tell everybody who doesn't, might not know what that is?
Sure. So oil pulling is this old Ayurvedic remedy that basically helps to cleanse your entire body, but starting with the mouth. So what you do is you put a teaspoon. A lot of times when you read books, they'll tell you a tablespoon. Do not listen to their starting. It's a teaspoon, 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 teaspoon. So you put a teaspoon of coconut oil or sesame oil, as long as it's not roasted. You definitely do not want to use roasted sesame oil. That would be counterproductive. But you take a teaspoon of the oil, you put it in your mouth, and you swish it around for 20 minutes. And what happens when you do that is basically, I mean, I'm sure there are other things that I don't fully understand, but for me, what I find is that the most important thing is you're taking all the bacteria that's kind of like hidden in various crevices in your mouth that you don't really get very well when you're brushing your teeth or even if you floss, and you're moving it around and then you're spitting it out so that you can let it out of your body. So then I brush my teeth after I oil pull and have my day set and I know what I'm going to do and all that. And while I've been oil pulling, I usually pull my first green smoothie out of the fridge so that it's not super cold when I drink it, especially this time of year. And I start brewing hot tea because I am a raw foodist, not a raw drinkist. And that way when I'm done oil pulling, the hot tea is not too hot and the green smoothie is not too cold. And so between the two of them, it's perfect. So I sit down to work and I've got my hot tea and my cold smoothie ready to go, but just no extreme temperatures. And
yep.
So that's usually my first thing, almost always that's the first thing I drink. And then usually within like an hour or two, I'll be ready for another one. So I just pull another green smoothie out of the fridge. And then if Leela sleeps for a long time, like until 10:30, usually by 10:30 I'm on my third smoothie. I usually make four or six liters at night. And so sometimes
and
I share
them. Are they all for you?
Yeah, sometimes
right.
I share them. Yeah. Sometimes it ends up that they, you know, that I just don't drink much during the day, just the first 2 liters, and then I'll have some left over for the next day, which is totally fine. I won't drink them more than 2 days old, but 2 days is totally cool. But usually they're all gone in the day. And if there's more than a couple liters of smoothies in the fridge, then my husband or one of the boys will usually ask for one. Or will. I used to make one for everybody, but I stopped because, honestly, they can make smoothies themselves. You know, like, really, like, it just, I've got so many things to do. And for me to keep track of whether or not they're drinking the smoothie so I know if I should drink their smoothie, it's just like, and I even had like for a little while I was doing some masking tape on the top of them and it would say like, you know, Jan Tuesday, Carlinhos Tuesday, Eva Tuesday, because I would always get at least two, Carlos Tuesday. And then like maybe another one be Leela Tuesday or maybe a third one would say Eva Tuesday. And then the deal was if they didn't drink it, it was mine.
Got it.
But I just, like, then I felt bad. And sometimes they would just drink a little bit of it. And I don't want to drink after them. That's, like, I don't know. They're in my family. But it just, like, for me, like, it gives me the skeevies. I just, ugh.
And what's in your favorite green smoothie?
It's the same recipe every time. I do change it up in terms of, like, which greens or which fruit or mm-hmm. whatever. But my primary recipe, what I put in it, is just for 2 liters at a time. Because what I do is I blend 2 liters, then throw the ingredients in, blend another 2 liters, throw them in again, and blend a third set of 2 liters. So that's my little process.
Yep.
I put in 4 bananas,
mm-hmm.
about 1/3 of a pineapple,
mm-hmm.
1 stalk of celery, 1/3 of an avocado, and about half of the blender full of green leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put a pretty fair amount of water. I put like 3 to 4 cups of water, so it's pretty watery in the end. Not like super watery, but for people who like really thick smoothies with no water, it'll taste watery.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this is
and do
great.
You put,
I'm getting,
do you put citrus or no?
Nope, no citrus.
Nope.
The pineapple.
Cool.
The pineapple has that sort of acidic element in it. Sometimes I do. Like if I have a lot of clementines in the fridge and, you know, I'm a little low on pineapple, maybe I'll swap it out. Or, you know, if I'm low on bananas, you know, oh, help me. So help me if I'm ever short on bananas. But
cool. And so then tell us what's your favorite dinner?
My favorite dinner? It's a zucchini pie.
And will everyone eat that with you?
Yeah. Actually, they will. If I make enough, they will. But usually I just make it for maybe me and one other person because, again, it's like they're a lot happier eating what they want to eat and they will eat my food. But for me, it's like, oh, I don't know, make extra food when they're not even going to really appreciate it. And then right after that, they're going to like put rice and beans on top of it. It just, for me, like a waste. It does. I mean, I used to do it very differently. I mean, we used to even have rules around like you have to eat like X amount of whatever. But I just like, I don't know. I just rather them be cool with it and just,
yeah.
You know, sure, try it. But just do what you want. If they really want it, they can ask for it, or I'll offer it to them. But I don't make it planning on giving it to them for dinner, because they have their own preferences. And, you know, the boys both have, you know, yeah, the boys both have problems with skin. And they know that when they're drinking 1 or 2 liters of green smoothies every day and they're staying low on gluten or not doing the gluten, they know that it goes away. They've already had that experience and they know, but they're just, you know, they're basically adults. They're 16 and 21 and, you know, they're making their own choices and, you know, they kind of vacillate. Sometimes they choose to eat almost all of what I'm eating, all the same stuff. And sometimes they don't. And I just kind of, I'm just letting them do their thing. I don't want them to be, you know, 25 and they're living away from home and they like won't touch a green smoothie because they got it forced down their throats, you know?
Right, totally. And how about with Leela, since she's younger?
Leela's a little different. So it's a really tricky situation because Carlos doesn't want her eating raw, even though he himself, when he did a 40-day experiment eating raw food, he lost a bunch of weight. To like in a good way, not in a sort of emaciated kind of way. Like he got to his ideal weight. It was ridiculous. Like literally at the beginning of the 40 days, he was like 25 pounds overweight. And then at the end of the 40 days, he was at his perfect weight. It was crazy. He was like really low stress, really high energy. Like he was just, man, he was on fire. It was so cool. And then he opened up a partially raw food restaurant. I mean, he really was into it.
Oh my gosh.
He just, for whatever reason, like he just kind of, I don't know. I think it's like an ego thing. Honestly, sometimes it feels like that. Like he wants his way to be the way. And if we both have the same way, as the way, then he can't be imposing his way. So she eats a lot of raw food with me and a lot of cooked food with him. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing because we have a lot of restrictions on like what stuff we include with her. So we don't give her gluten, generally speaking, but sometimes he does. Not as often, but sometimes he does. And when he does, I can see the reaction in her. And I say, Carlos, like, I don't need to give Leela a quiz to know that you gave her gluten. Like, can you not do that? Like, please. So that I don't have a whole, like, 2 days with a kid who's been affected by it. It doesn't feel nice. But he doesn't usually. So it's not a big deal. I don't really push it.
And what's your favorite strategy? So, I mean, you teach so many people how you teach people how to, you know, be great chefs, and you've also helped a lot of people just go raw in general. So what is your number one strategy for when people are trying to make a big change? What do you share with people most often?
Well, I always get them on green smoothies to start.
Yeah.
It just seems like a really good gateway because it's so simple, so inexpensive, so, you know, so filling. And on top of it, it seems to have a lot of great results because of the leafy greens that can do so much for your body. So I always tell them to start adding in green smoothies to start and then to just play with different things. So like, for example, when I do my 21-day raw food jumpstart, what that looks like is the entire 21 days, breakfast is a green smoothie. Every single day, there's a green smoothie. And then we have different missions. So there's 10 different missions throughout the program. Like we'll do a raw soup and there's a little tutorial on how to make raw soup. And, you know, we'll have a salad that makes you want to eat salad. That's one of the missions. So there's a little tutorial on how to make salads that make you want to eat salad. And there's, you know, so there's just different things like that. And we make a salad dressing for one of the missions. And then what we do is we make an alteration to the soup or the dressing or something like that, just to play with it and understand just how flexible raw food recipes can be and to see that you could turn a soup into a dressing or a dressing into a soup. Like there's a lot of funky little things that you could do that you wouldn't even realize until you start to understand like how the recipes work.
Yeah. It's funny because I have a similar background to you that I think you said that you didn't cook at all before all this, right? Before you were
I did, but I mean, it is weird. I made nori rolls because I decided in college that I wanted to make nori rolls. I don't know why. I just had always gone out to sushi places and it just was a thing that I wanted to learn. And so I burnt the rice so many times until I finally figured out how to, like, really make good rice. And then I just became obsessed with that one thing. So that was the one thing that I was really good at making.
Because there's something about raw food that's just so forgiving, you know? Like,
yeah.
It really is that you can, like, do all these different things. And once you learn, my favorite technique always was just what a Cuisinart can do, because I had never really used one before. And I was like, that's
yeah.
so cool that, like, you can make brownies.
Yeah, right?
That sticks together. Like, you know, how easy nuts become all these different things. Kind of amazing.
True.
Okay, so this is all awesome. So do you have anything you want to share before we go into our my last question for you? But and definitely share where people can find you and what you've sort of got going on and just why people would want to find you, because you're amazing. But tell us more specifically.
Well, if you're looking for more information about raw food, and just so you know, so I run the Raw Academy, right? But RAW isn't just about raw food. It's actually an acronym that stands for Radiance Awakening Wellness. And so the intention is that we use food as a means to do those things, you know, to feel better, to have more energy, to feel, you know, a great sense of wellness, and to also be waking up, you know, seeing more of who we are and how we interact with the world and, you know, all that stuff together, but using food as one of our main tools. So you can go to therawacademy.com if you're interested in, you know, just jumping into raw food in general. I do a free raw food class, and you can find that at freerawfoodclass.com. And then
cool.
from there, if you are interested in becoming a wellness coach and teaching raw food classes or helping others on their own journeys with food, if you're at that level, I would say to find me on my personal website, the one that is not at the Raw Academy. And that's at evaraposa.com.
Great. And all of these URLs will be in the show notes, so they'll just be clickable when you search for the. So here's my final question that I'm asking everyone. Ta-da. For me, all of this is about our experience through food and how, you know, for myself, I had this huge experience. Like, I had no idea what food, the power of it is so similar to your story. Like, it just healed so many things, and I just didn't even, I had no idea that food could do that. And it just plays such a, but it plays such an important role, both good and bad, throughout our lives, right? So my question is there, like, one meal that you've experienced in your life that really stands out in your memories?
Mm.
It could be about the food. It could be about the company. It could be, like, a major aha you had sitting at the table. And it could be that it happened, like, yesterday, or it could be that it happened when you were 9 years old. But I find that food just is such a way we remember so many things through our food experiences, that I just want all these stories to be shared, you know, throughout whoever's listening to this podcast.
I've had a lot of meals that really stick out in my mind, and I've had a lot of food experiences that really stick out in my mind because I work with food, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm constantly looking for different ways to see about my experience with food, you know? But I would say if I had to give one meal, if I had to choose one meal, then I'd say, all right, so when Leela turned two, I'm so sorry. It's so funny. I drank a green smoothie right before this call. It was not a good idea. It was cold. Anyways, so when Leela turned two, I decided to cater the party and to make 100% raw food. And that might have been cool if I were, you know, catering to raw foodies, but I wasn't. It was actually about 40 to 50 people from our family in Brazil. And so they were probably hoping for a barbecue, and instead it was a raw food party. And I made almost all of the food myself. I had someone helping me on the final day because there was so much stuff. Like, I made homemade ice cream. I just really went all out. And we had sandwiches that were like burgers. So
mm-hmm.
I made raw ketchup, raw mustard, raw mayonnaise. I mean, it was so cool. I made a 3-layer birthday cake with the sprinkles were blue, purple, and pink. So I used beet juice and I used blueberry juice. And it was everything was just off. It was crazy.
That's amazing.
And it was amazing. It was amazing for me personally to have that experience because no one was complaining about the food. No one was missing out on a barbecue. Nobody, not one person there was disappointed. You could tell, because you can tell people like, ooh, this is great. You're ready to go vomit in the corner. And you're like, but I put so much love into it. Can't you taste the love? It wasn't like that at all. They were like, wow, like this is really cool. And I remember when my mother-in-law was leaving, she wanted extra of like several things. She's like, making her to-go stash. And she wasn't the only one. And we don't have a family where like everybody's doing that to try to like, it's an interesting thing. Like usually you have to push the stuff out with people so that you don't have tons of leftovers, but they weren't being pushed. They were like, here, I'm going to take some extra of this. This is really good. Can you share the recipe? It was so weird. It was like, I don't know, it felt like some sort of twilight zone. But for me, the experience of just knowing guys, I'm not missing out on anything. Like, this is what I can do, and this is why, like, this food makes me feel good, and this is why I say no to the meat at the barbecues. This is why I bring my own stuff. Like, I feel good, but I'm not sacrificing, guys. Like, this is good stuff. And it was this beautiful moment of, like, that really hit home. That it wasn't just about, like, I don't want to feed junky food to everybody just because it's what people do. It was just this moment of being like, yeah, like, this is a choice, but I'm not giving up anything. Like, it really can be a beautiful, amazing, wonderful choice in every way, on every level. And I made, like, I was with Leela, and I made all that food except for the last day when I just had one person helping. I was making all that food with a 2-year-old on top of me.
Right.
So it's not that hard. It's not that time consuming. It doesn't have to be. And some of the recipes were brand new, so I had to write them down as I went. I was like, oh, I should make a ketchup recipe. So I just made it up and like playing with the amount of vinegar.
I love that story. And I love that because I feel like on our children's birthdays, I feel like as moms, our birthdays sometimes go by the wayside, whether it's because we don't want to celebrate them or because, we're usually the ones making up stuff. But I feel like our children's birthdays are such an awesome time to celebrate ourselves. So often forget that. I mean, it's like it's such an important day for us as parents. So I love that that day happened on her second birthday because
yeah,
feels like such a great celebration of you.
Yeah, I want to do another. I'm just sitting here thinking about it. I'm thinking, oh, we should cater her fifth birthday party. Me doing the catering. I'm going to do that again.
Totally.
Seriously.
Very good.
And I already have the recipes. I could do the same thing. I could play with it.
You could make a book so we could all have such fantastic parties.
I know. I wrote them all down, and I have pictures. We had a professional photographer there. But
nice.
Food pictures just didn't come out the way. It wasn't like you being there photographing the foods. She's used to, like, photographing kids' birthday parties in Brazil and, like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. Is there any, like, closing things that you feel like anyone listening should know about food in general or I don't know.
No.
Anything on your mind? No.
No.
We're good. We've covered it all the bases.
I think we know what we need to know.
Yeah, totally.
I do. I think that if anything, happens on this show or in life, like I think we know what we need to know. If someone says it just made sense eating food from, from the earth instead of from a box and it sits with us, we know.
Yeah.
Know that it's what we need to hear. So I don't think that I can add anything that's going to be like the thing that people are going to need to know. Like they know what
awesome.
They need to know. If they're sitting here thinking like, yeah, I should really do this. Like I don't need to tell you. Like they know.
Well,
like,
the thing I love is that we have to trust ourselves and we can totally do it even with a toddler in tow.
Yeah.
It all can work out and it's all doable.
Yeah.
So with that, I will say goodbye. So goodbye, and
bye.
Thank you so much for being on the call.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.